where minds collide. Participate in deep, thought-provoking, and cutting-edge discussions. This is PM Drive.
26 minutes past the hour, 4, we're now transitioning into our first interview, and that, of course, is on what Kotha mentioned before the break, and that is an alleged failed attempt robbery claims an innocent life. Now, VUC News has been alerted to a shooting incident involving people in a vehicle where one person was allegedly killed in the backseat at the intersection of Davit and Ottery Road last night. A confidential informant, who is also a close friend of the victim, informed VUC News that he was in the process of selling his cell phone when an alleged robbery attempt failed. Now, this incident highlights the rising violence in the Cape Flats, the easy availability of firearms leading to the deaths of innocent people. Online, we have Abby Isaacs, chairperson of the Cape Flats Safety Forum, to give us additional details and further insight. Assalamu alaikum and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Wonderful having the airwaves of PM Drive, sir. To kick things off, when you hear of such incidents that have almost become a norm in our society and the tragic details therein, how does it make you feel, especially knowing all you know in terms of how a crime is being fought upon the Cape Flats?
I think first and foremost, as the Cape Flats Safety Forum, we condemn any acts of violence in the strongest terms. That's number one. Number two, we have persistently been calling to say that there needs to be a strategy to deal with what we call gun violence, specifically gang violence in particular. And I want to take reference to the insert. One also needs to, in the same vein, ask communities to be vigilant when they go on this social media platform of purchasing stuff. You know, I think, I don't want to mention the name, but when they go and purchase stuff on the social media, you know, specifically now, now that we're moving into the festive season, you know, money becomes freely available or regularly available, and people will use any opportunity to lure you into buying something or getting something, or even go to the ATMs and start robbing you, you know. Because I just said to somebody this afternoon, we're literally in 3 months away from Christmas, if we can put it that way. So technically, we're in the festive season already.
Yeah.
So then in the same vein, we want to use the opportunity and ask the community to out there broader to start the exercise vigilance when they go even to ATMs, malls, and those type of things.
You mentioned the vigilance of the community. I wonder then, where is the vigilance of the police services in this period of time? You've noted now, of course, that during this period, there is a heightened sense of criminality in the community. So I'm wondering, why isn't there some kind of reflection in that insight from the perspective of the South African police services?
I think from our side, we've consistently been saying as the Cape Flats Safety Forum at this stage, yes, we know that they are people saying that we are out of order. It's fine to be out of order. We are saying that for now, moving up to the festive season, even prior to moving up to the festive season, I'm just using this as a catalyst now, the festive season as a catalyst. Now we need the SANDF to be deployed. We cannot have a situation where daily you wake up, you go sleep, you go eat, you hear gunshots. You know, so it's common cause that from our side and our view is that there could be a possible sinister force operating. Therefore, we are saying that intelligence need to do their work so that we would be able to see who is feeding and who's pushing this particular narrative on the Cape Flats. So that's one area. I think the other point that one wants to make is that we've persistently been saying there's no plan. The minister came now 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he indirectly echoed what we've been saying. There's no plan to deal with what we call urban terror. Let's put it, the word out there, urban terror in and around the Cape Flats.
Yeah. Sir, I think this is an exceptionally important conversation, so I'm going to ask you to just stay on the line for me. Kotha Samba is going to deliver the news. I will then give a traffic update, and we'll get straight back into it.
This news bulletin is brought to you by Crown, another quality product from the Willerton Group.
In news making headlines, an alleged failed attempted robbery claims an innocent life. Shifting focus, a mass march for Hazza takes place this coming Saturday. And moving to your upcoming news abroad, we get the latest flotilla update as the Conscious boat was attacked by an Israeli drone en route to Hazza but was repaired to set sail. That's it for now. More details at the top of the hour.
This news bulletin was brought to you by Crown, another quality product from the Willerton Group. In the heart of every great meal lies a tradition. And with Crown Cooking Oil, that tradition comes alive. Whether you're stir-frying, baking or grilling, let Crown Cooking Oil be your culinary companion. Taste the essence of tradition with every delicious dish. Crown Cooking Oil, the choice for those who appreciate quality and flavor. Crown Cooking Oil. Taste the tradition.
This is PM Drive Traffic.
Let's have a look at your roads. According to reports that I'm seeing here, stationary vehicle on the N1 outbound at Lower Church, left lane obstructed, no delays expected there. We have another report here of congestion on the M5 southbound at the M2 outbound, expected delays there, and a report of a crash on the N1 outbound before Coburg, left lane obstructed, expect delays there as well. If you have anything to share, of course, utilize the WhatsApp line of 0299 913 913, but for now, that's your traffic.
PM Drive, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m.
4:32 out here in the CPT, the Mother City. And speaking about the Mother City, before the break, we were having a conversation on gun violence and its, let's say, proliferation within our community and the kind of lack of response from our authorities. And I'm trying to understand here, Mr. Isaacs, and he's, Mr. Isaacs, who is the chairperson of the Cape Flats Safety Forum. Thank you so much for staying on the line. One question that comes to mind through the break was the reality of what now our community faces. Because it almost seems as in some way the community has to take all these extra steps and measures in terms of being more vigilant, while there's no exceptional reaction from our authority figures. You've already now mentioned that the acting police minister has almost insinuated that there is no real plan and they still have to go to the drawing board to figure out a way forward in terms of tackling gun violence and just criminality here in the Western Cape.
Yeah, I think what we've also been saying, and this is our official position, there needs to be a special probe needs to be set up to deal with, to look deeper into this gun violence. And when we called it, this was prior to this current commission that's currently happening, the Makwanazi Commission. But we were hoping something similar to look deeper into the firearms. If we look at it just last week, from what I picked up on the media, firearms destined that was coming from KZN that landed up somewhere on the Cape Flats, you know. And it's not your normal, what we call your water gun, it's AK-47s, you know, high caliber of firearms. So from our perspective, there's something deeper that's happening. So hence we've been calling a special probe need to be set up. The president, even the premier himself needs to be set up, that probe. But coming back to the premier itself, you know, there was just last 2023, a judge in the High Court, Judge Tulari, made a particular founding, let me use the correct word, to suggest that gangs were colluding with with management, such management in particular. You know, the premier then appointed the ombudsman to verify or to validify that information. At this stage, we don't know where that information, whether it's correct or wrong, but that information still sits with the premier of the Western Cape. Is it true? Is it not true? You know, So if you look at it in that perspective, there's a lot of things that we need to look at. And the other point that one wants to bring across is that, yes, they would say that communities need to take ownership. Communities have started to take ownership. We look at certain areas. We look at last week where women in particular from a particular area out in Steenbok, you know, went to go and chain themselves in front of parliament to send a message across to the president or to the 400 members of parliament that enough is enough. I think our communities are starting to say enough is enough, and they're trying to follow everything to the letter. And when I say to the letter, in terms of the protest actions and those type of things, working within the framework of the law, we looked at Mitchell's Plain. Just 2 weeks ago, there was a prayer march as well from the clergy. You know, so communities are coming forward to do their part. The agencies need to come forward to do their part. And one wants to quickly dwell into another aspect that has been sticking his head out, if you can put it in that way, the devolution of power. Devolution of power, you know, it is not going to happen overnight. If I give you permission tonight, and this is me, I'm just an ordinary citizen, If I give you permission today of devolution of power, it needs to go through the process in terms of a green paper, white paper, and then the Police Act gets amended.
Mm.
You get the point. So yeah. It's a whole process again in terms of that one. That is just me, as I say, what I've learned through the years. An act cannot just be amended overnight and implemented. It needs to go through due processes.
Yeah. You've mentioned how the community doing their part, and you've mentioned that instance in Steenberg as well as in Mitchell's Plain. And I'm trying to understand, is there now a shift in terms of the usual narrative within communities? Because oftentimes I get the sentiment that individuals don't trust the police, and that this distrust doesn't really motivate them towards providing information that is quite pertinent towards investigations to the police. And I mean, can you really blame them given the reality of what they hear on the news continuously when you have the Madlanga Commission and the almost gross injustice and corruption that occurs at the upper levels of government, allegedly, but at the same time, worryingly?
One cannot blame the community. And we've consistently been saying that, you know, don't have to. There are good police officers, and there are some of those ones that are not good. But the reality is, to send information, you don't have to go to the police. Go to your clergy, go to your imam, go to your priest, give the necessary information to the relevant people that you trust. Because obviously, as I say, they also have a fundamental role to play to relay the message across. So if you want to build confidence, build it in your imams, build it in your clergy. So that information can go out of your hand. What I always say, make sure that the information is out of your out basket. So when it comes to a point, you can always track back to say, I've given the information to Pete, Paul, and Chris.
Yeah. Mr. Isaacs, before I let you go, just one question to you, and it's something that builds upon what 3930 is coming through into the WhatsApp line and arguing, and it's in regards to stricter gun laws, and they're saying the public shouldn't be punished with stricter gun laws, of course, due to the reality of crime in the Cape Flats. I'd like to know your position and the position of your organization in regards to gun laws. Is there now the circumstance that there has to be stricter gun control, and is that the answer to the question of gun violence?
One of it is to look at stricter gun control. Number two is also to look at the mechanism, how do we begin to for an example, and let me just quickly, yes, we can have stricter gun control, but there's still firearms that is out in circulation. And most of these firearms that technically is out in circulation is from valid firearm owners. So that's one thing. Now the firearm gets recovered from the agencies. And I'm not going to mention a specific agency. Firearm gets extracted from the agency, goes through the criminal procedures. Once it comes to the destruction part of it, the destruction part currently is out in Pretoria. So technically it means that a firearm that gets destructed or destined for destructed move from Cape Town to Pretoria, as an example. We are arguing that they should be decentralized. Within Cape Town, we should have a place where we destruct these firearms. You know, so and even once you do that, invite communities so that they can see 50 firearms were recovered over the period. Yes, the 50 firearms going into that in itself takes away the situation where people have the mistrust in terms of you know, in the amnesty process, there was the years ago of the amnesty process, do I hand in my firearm? Is it not going to get missing somewhere? So those are the questions in terms of that one. But we need to look at better laws. But the reality is, we need to get a probe as a matter of urgently set up to look specifically into that. And it needs to be people that knows in the environment, possibly retired police officers, retired judges, like the commission, Madlanga Commission, that zooms specifically, and their focus is to look at the firearms that is freely available in and around the Cape Flats.